And welcome to the Hour of Decision Online. And howdy, everybody. Cliff Barrows here with my co-host, Bob Sauer. And Bob, we've got an exciting program today.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Cliff. We sure do. On this edition of the program, Billy Graham looks at what it means to be a Christian.
First, a Christian is a person who has made a choice. Secondly, a change has taken place in his life. And thirdly, he's accepted a challenge.
A choice, a change, and a challenge. Stay tuned to find out what each of those is. Then Will Graham teaches on remorse.
When we live by faith, the things that break God's heart will break our heart, and our repentance will be genuine.
You don't want to miss the rest of Will's insight coming up right after his grandfather's message. That message, Cliff, comes from Billy Graham's 1985 Mission England outreach held in Sheffield.
It was held in Sheffield, but you went across Europe. We went from a satellite 22,000 miles above, and it beamed it down to 51 centers, including centers throughout the UK, including centers in Paris, France, in northern Rhodesia. And it was so exciting because we could have a reverse feed, and we could talk to each other, and different ones sing at different times. People were excited. I was excited. And people will be excited as you listen and you join in where you are.
Before Billy Graham began his message, George Beverly Shea sang Acres of Diamonds, and Ralph Bell offered a challenging word of encouragement. Ralph was an associate evangelist with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association for nearly 40 years.
Now, I believe there are many of you who have the same questions that I had as a young person. Questions like, can I really experience the forgiveness of sins? Is life really worth living? And how can I do my personal best? May I suggest to you that if you want to do your personal best and be at your personal best, then the first step would be to invite Christ into your life as your personal Savior. It is the most important decision you can ever make. Thank you, and God bless you.
Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold, all these together wouldn't buy you or me peace when we're sleeping or a conscience that's free, a heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures money can't buy. If you have Jesus, there's more wealth in your soul than acres of diamonds, mountains of gold. A heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures money can't buy. When we have Jesus, there's more wealth in the soul than acres of diamonds, mountains.
We go back to the platform in Sheffield, England now to begin listening to Billy Graham's message, The Danger of Neutrality.
I want you to turn with me to the sixth chapter of Matthew, and Jesus is speaking. And he says this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and materialism. Jesus said that. You've got to make up your mind. Now, I find the psychological and spiritual and moral vacuum in the United States and in Europe and America and many other parts of the world. Millions of young people have no purpose for living and no motivating challenge. And young people are restless, I find. They want a cause. They want a song to sing. They want a flag to follow. And you know, there are many young people that just never make up their mind. They never make a definite decision. It's very much like during the American Civil War. You know, the Southerners wore gray uniforms and the Northerners wore the blue uniforms. So this fellow said he was going to be neutral. So he put on a gray coat and blue trousers, and both sides shot at him. Now, Christ never allowed us to be bystanders or spectators when it came to him. The word Christian actually means a partisan for Christ. It means that you have chosen Christ and you're following Christ. And partisans are never neutral. And we see today radical young people all over the world stirring up trouble, bombing hotels, bombing in airplanes, hijacking planes. They're following some sort of a cause and they're restless. They want something. And these young people that we're reading about in our newspapers every day and watching on television, they never play it safe. They never sit on the fence. They're never spectators in the struggles of our times. They commit themselves to whatever their cause may be. And I want to ask you, are you a Christian? I mean a true Christian, a real Christian. Somebody asked an Anglican down in London when we were down there. They were trying to witness and they said, are you a Christian, sir? He said, I've been an Anglican all my life and nobody's going to make a Christian out of me. And down in Texas, they asked a man on the street in Fort Worth, Texas, said, are you a Christian? He said, no, thank God I'm a Baptist. And many people have a wrong idea of what a Christian is really like. They say, well, a Christian is a person who prays. Christians pray, but that doesn't make you a Christian, a true Christian. Or they live by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That doesn't make you a Christian. You say, well, a Christian is a person that goes to church. Yes, a Christian ought to go to church, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You can be baptized, and you can do all of those things, and you can be called Christian, but I'm talking about a real, genuine, personal relationship with Christ. Do you have that? Or one who keeps the Ten Commandments. I've never met anybody that kept the Ten Commandments. I haven't kept them. You haven't kept them. Did you know that everybody in this stadium has broken every commandment? The Bible says that if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. So we've broken the whole of the Ten Commandments, and that is called sin in the Bible. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's requirements, come short of God's glory. Now, first, a Christian is a person who has made a choice. Secondly, a change has taken place in his life. And thirdly, he's accepted a challenge. And I want to make those the three things I want to emphasize. First, he's made a choice. All the way through the Bible, we're asked to make a choice. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden made the wrong choice. They rebelled against God. They chose to build a world without God. And they made a mistake, a terrible, tragic mistake, and we're paying for it today because all the problems in the world today, including death, comes from the fact that our first parents broke God's law and passed it on to Cain and Abel, their children. Cain became a murderer and passed it on to you and me. And we're all capable of sin, and we all sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin. We're sinners by choice. We're sinners by practice. Every choice we make affects others. Moses, before he died, said to all the people of Israel, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, and both you and your children will live. Choose, he said. He said to the people of that day, you have to make a choice. And a little bit later, the next man that followed him was named General Joshua. And Joshua, the 24th chapter, had all the people of Israel before him at Shechem. And he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve yourself? Choose, he said. And then he said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Yes, you have to make a choice. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He said, only a few people are on the narrow road that leads to heaven. The vast majority are on a broad road that leads to judgment, destruction, and hell. Which road are you on? It's what you do about Christ that counts, because you see, Christ came to die on the cross, and the cross becomes the door. It becomes the gate. And if we'll enter that narrow gate of the cross and the resurrection and say, yes, Lord, I believe, I turn from my sins, I'm willing to change my way of living, and we enter the narrow road, it'll be rocky and rough and tough, but at the end is heaven. And while on that road, there's a new resource and a new power and a new joy and a new love that God gives you. Now, secondly, a true believer, a true Christian, is a person who has made a change in his life. And that's done by the Holy Spirit. The moment you receive Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live in your heart. And it says in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You become a new person. And he's the one that does it. He performs that act in your life. Yes, a true believer is one in whom a change has taken place. Has a change taken place in your life? Because you see, our problems and emotional upsets and feelings and behavior and goals are all rooted in the wrong basic beliefs about how to meet our personal needs in life. Our problems with sex or with peer pressure. Christ can take charge of all that if you'll let him. And then a true believer is a person who has accepted a challenge. Jesus said, if any man will come after me and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, you deny self, your own selfish ambitions, your own selfish sinful pleasures. You deny that. And then you turn and take up a cross. What did he mean by that? He means that you are going to die with him. The cross was a place of executing criminals. He said, when you go back to your school, back to your neighborhood, back to your work, and tell them that you have received Christ, you may receive persecution. They may laugh at you. They may make fun of you. Your peers and your friends will maybe no longer have anything to do with you. You might lose some dates. You'll have to pay a price. Many of the people that followed Jesus, when he talked about death and he said, I'm going to die, they quit following him. They didn't understand the deeper meaning of his death. They didn't realize that when he died on the cross, that was the only hope that they will ever have to get to heaven and to have their sin forgiven. Because when he shed that blood on the cross, that is the only hope that we have in this life or the life to come.
That's a sobering statement. The only hope we have in this life or the next. Do you know that hope? you can. Learn more about beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ by going to the top of this page and clicking on Grow Your Faith. You can also talk with someone about beginning a relationship with Jesus by giving us a call at 888-7-GRAHAM. That's 888-747-2426. This is Hour of Decision Online. I'm Bob Sauer, along with the host of our program, Cliff Barrows. This program is an online outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Another one of our online outreaches is working to expand the impact of Franklin Graham's Festivals of Hope. Here's our Mike McLean to tell you more.
Franklin Graham's festivals are powerful events for proclaiming the gospel, and the Internet Evangelism Ministry is adding to the effectiveness. Here's John Cass, Director of Internet Evangelism.
We're now taking it online for streaming. So we've set up a webcast for, we really just launched that out in a full effort this year. We've done some in the past, testing things, but it was a full launch effort this year, starting with El Paso.
The live streaming of the El Paso Festival of Hope this past April and efforts since then have been very effective. In conjunction with the Festival of Hope in Pittsburgh.
Overall, our streaming audience, unique viewers that spent some time on the site, was just under 40,000 unique views. We had about 790 people that indicated that they had prayed a prayer of salvation.
Those people who do make a commitment to Jesus Christ are then helped in finding a church in their home communities.
Those people that make decisions in that area, if they've given us their contact details, we're going to send those on to local churches that are comfortable because they need to connect with them through the medium in which people came.
And regardless of where a festival is being held, people around the world can be part of it.
The page that they're watching on will have the gospel presentation. It'll have the option for them to be linked up with a chat counselor if they have questions. So we have chat volunteers online. We have email response. They may just want to email us questions, so we're there to do that as well.
You can be part of the online effort, and your time and prayers will be welcome.
If they want to volunteer and they want to learn more about the ministry online, they go to searchforjesus.net, and on there they'll find out information on volunteering, how to get their churches involved, and all that good stuff.
The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association's internet ministry has already had considerable worldwide impact since its launch in April 2011.
So just over 3 years, 25 million presentations of the gospel with almost 4.7 million people indicating that they prayed a prayer of salvation.
If you'd like to be part of the effort, the address again is searchforjesus.net. For Hour of Decision Online, I'm Mike McLean.
You're listening to a message titled, The Danger of Neutrality. What is that danger? Well, Billy Graham says that neutrality toward Jesus amounts to rejection of Jesus, and that is dangerous.
Jesus clearly taught that there are two roads, and you have to choose which road. There are two masters, and you have to choose which master you're going to surrender to. And there are two destinies, heaven or hell, and you have to make the choice. Because you see, God doesn't make the choice for you. God gives His Son. He helps you to make the choice by sending His Holy Spirit to convict you, to speak to you. But ultimately, you make your own choice. You can choose what you're going to believe, and there's nothing God can do about it. Because He gave you a gift of free will. You can say, I will or I won't. I will or I won't. Which will it be for you? I will or I won't. That's the decision that you'll have to make. You see, there's death to every other choice. You cannot travel both roads. You die to one road when you go down the other. Life never allows that kind of neutrality. Jesus does not allow you to be neutral about Him. Jesus demands that you decide about Him. Then some are reluctant to make a choice for Christ because of theology about the Bible. They're not sure about God. They're not sure that you can prove God. No, you can't prove God. You can't prove that God exists. You cannot go to a scientific laboratory and say, here's God in a test tube. We accept God by faith. Everything in nature tells us there must be a God. I have a watch here. It didn't just fly together. This universe that runs in perfect precision. There's a supreme being out there somewhere. We call him God. And the Bible tells us that he's a spirit. And he created the world, that he's from everlasting to everlasting. And he said, I am the Lord, I change not. But God also says that he's a God of love. He loves you. He's interested in you. He has the hairs of your head numbered. He loves you with an everlasting love, and he wants to forgive you. He wants to come into your life and into your home and into your work and into all your relationships. And then there's some young people that will raise the question about the Bible. Can we trust the Bible? Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The scripture says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired the Bible. I don't understand everything in the Bible. You can ask me questions in the Bible that I cannot answer. I accept it by faith as the word of God, and it's changed my life. And it feeds my soul. Every time I read the Bible, any part of the Bible, I don't care where I open up, it speaks to me. It's a living book. It's not like a history book. It's not a book of science. It's a book about faith. It's a book about God. And then some people say, well, I don't want to go to church. They refuse Christ because of the church. And some people say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, there are hypocrites in every area of life, I'll tell you. The church is not a society of saints. The church is for sinners saved by the grace of God. And the one requirement for membership in the true body of Christ is that you're unworthy to be a member. I'm not worthy to be a member of the body of Christ. I'm not worthy to be a member of the local church where I'm a member. Christ himself founded the church, and its purpose is to glorify God by worship. We go to church for the fellowship, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The church is for strengthening our faith. The church is an influence for good in the community. The church is for the purpose of witness and service. But I think the main reason a lot of young people don't come to Christ is because they don't want to pay the price. And he will not compromise. He will not negotiate. You either come by repentance and faith or you don't come at all. And a lot of young people don't want to pay that kind of price. If you want an education, you'll pay most anything to get it. If you want wealth, you'll give up all sorts of other things to get money. But Jesus said, even all those things, the scripture says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Suppose you had all the wealth in the whole world and lost your soul. Would it be worth it? No. You see, your soul is that part of you that lives in your body, and it's going to live forever. And the decision that many of you make right here tonight will decide about your soul's eternal destiny. And then there are other young people that are afraid of being ridiculed or misunderstood. Yes, when you come to Christ, that'll follow. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, many young people put it off. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. He that hardeneth his heart, being often reproved, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. You say, what do I have to do? You have to be willing to say, God, I'm a sinner. That's repentance. Turn from sin. Change your mind. That's repentance. Then faith is where you totally commit your life to Christ. You put him first from now on. I'm not sure. You may go to church. You may not go to church. You may be a good church member. You may not be. I don't know anything about you. But God knows. And you need him. And you may never have another moment like this as long as you live. This is your moment before God. You get up and come.
And so many did get up and come. In fact, you heard their shuffle on the boards as they walked down the aisle, and they stood there to give their life and heart to Jesus Christ. And then Billy led them in a prayer to receive Christ. I'd like to lead you in that prayer right now. Just bow your head where you are and say, "Oh God, I'm sorry for my sin. I repent of my sin. I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me now for Jesus' sake, and help me to follow you in the fellowship of the church and not be ashamed to own you as my Savior and my Lord and share it with others. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen."
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. If you'd like more information about beginning a relationship with Jesus, whether you just prayed with Cliff or not, just go to the top of this page and click on Grow Your Faith, or call us. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM. That's 888-747-2426. You're listening to Hour of Decision online.
The greatest need that you have right now as an individual is peace with God.
Join us for Peace with God as Billy Graham and Franklin Graham offer you a message of hope. Listen online or find a radio station near you that airs the program. Just go to the top of this page, click on TV and radio, and then on Peace with God.
We're going to see what the Bible has to say about the problems that we face in our world.
God loves you. And he's good.
Peace with God, what you need today. Click on TV and radio.
Billy Graham just explained that Jesus forces you to make a choice about him. You either accept him or you reject him. Now, Billy Graham's grandson Will says if you choose to accept Christ, then you must choose to reject a life of sin.
How do you express remorse? In the Bible, people would often tear their clothes to pieces. For example, people would often tear their clothes after hearing that a loved one had died. Now, this would demonstrate that their hearts were emotionally torn. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, God was tired of seeing people try to show the world that they were sorry for their sins, when in reality, their hearts were not torn over what they had done. When we live life by sight, this is exactly what we do. We want the world to think we are good spiritually, but deep down inside, we are not okay. When we live by sight, we fool the world, but the Bible says we do not fool God. He sees our heart. When we live by faith, the things that break God's heart will break our heart, and our repentance will be genuine. Therefore, live by faith and not by sight. For Our Decision Online, I'm Will Graham.
Cliff, what have you come to learn about the importance of repentance?
Well, I know that when you don't, your conscience convicts you, and you need to say, "Oh God, at whatever stage in life, I'm sorry." I remember when I was a boy, I was playing with my baseball in the yard, and I threw it and I missed the board and I hit the window and busted the window. Oh boy, I knew I had to tell Dad about it. So before he could get out of the car when he came in, I jumped on the running board and said, "Dad, I'm sorry. I broke a window." Well, I beat him to it. He didn't need to chastise me for it because I repented. But I've had to do it along my journey. But I thank God for the peace that comes with repentance. And the joy of the Lord is yours when you repent. And I thank God for the privilege. Whosoever shall call shall be saved. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Precious promises indeed, Cliff. Thank you. Have you ever felt spiritually or emotionally drained? Maybe you are right now. You'll find encouragement in a book by Christian teacher Jill Briscoe. It's called Running on Empty, and it looks at heroic figures in the Bible who also felt drained and burned out at times. Running on Empty is our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. You can give right here by clicking on Give at the top of the page, or make your donation over the phone. Our number is 888-7-GRAHAM, 888-747-2426. I'm Bob Sauer, along with a host of our program, Cliff Barrows. Thank you for being with us for this edition of Hour of Decision Online. We'll be back with a new edition of the program on Sunday. In the meantime, Cliff, we're always just a click away here at hourofdecisiononline.org.
That's right, Bob, and it's a great joy to partner with you, my brother, and with our dear friend in the office at the Dials. Thank you, Albert. We are grateful for the ministry we can have together. We then, as partners together with Christ, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Only believe, share it with a friend, and join us next week when it's convenient for you. Until then, goodbye, and may God's richest blessings be yours all week long. The Hour of Decision is sponsored by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always very good news.